and welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio, also broadcast through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. Do hope you can stay with us. Coming up this hour, we're going to be having a chat very, very shortly on the program with Eddie Cabillo, who is the Executive Officer of NATSLS. If you're not aware, NATSLS is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. We're going to talk about what's making news with NATSLS around the country. Going to obviously talk a little bit about NAIDOC Week, so do stay tuned. Eddie joins me very, very shortly here on Noongar Radio. Later up this hour, you'll meet Aboriginal lawyer Krista McKeegan. Now, she's going to chat with us about the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee section of the WA Law Society. So we're going to talk that. We're going to talk about NAIDOC as well. And the big Sir Ronald Wilson lecture is coming up next month in Perth. We'll let you know who's the guest speaker for this year's talk and also what they'll be talking about. So looking forward to meeting Krista later in the program. Really interesting young lawyer who's she's won a human rights award. She's done some incredible work, including working with the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA with some of our redress applications a couple of years ago. You're really going to enjoy hearing from her. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour on Noongar Radio and also broadcasting through the National Indigenous Radio Service. And this program is brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And I guess the mornings have been cold, but we do pretty well on a national scale with regards to our winters. They're not too cold, I wouldn't have thought. Okay, well, time to head to our eastern states now and up to Queensland and say hello to Eddie Cabillo, who is the Executive Officer of NATSLS, which is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. Eddie Cabillo, welcome to Law Matters. Thanks for your time. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jodie. Yourself?
I'm very good. Now, it's NAIDOC Week around the country. How's things been going up in Queensland? Because, of course, the Gold Coast is the host city this year. How's the celebrations going in your end of town?
Yeah, everyone's firing up and getting ready for the big ball down in the Gold Coast on Friday night. And in Musgrave Park here, they have the gathering for the families this Friday. So everyone's ready for that.
Fantastic. Hey, Eddie, I want to talk about NATSLS news, what is making news and where things are standing on a national scale for our Aboriginal legal services. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about you because you've been on the in the role of Executive Officer with NATSLS since 2012. But in the lead up to that, you've done a heap of stuff. You're a lawyer. You're originally from the Northern Territory. Tell us about your family and where you're from.
From the top end and as well as the centre, my dad's Central Islander, my mother's Larrakia Wadjigan. So I have a bit of mixture in regards to salt water and the desert people. And yeah, as you said, I've been a lawyer. I've also got a master's in international law. And my last position prior to this one was the Discrimination Commissioner of the Northern Territory.
Wow, so a busy time and over 15 years experience in Northern Territory government working in Aboriginal affairs, which I guess gives you an incredible grounding, not only with your own family, but through the work that you've done, Eddie, of some of the issues facing our mob across the country, particularly in the area of justice.
Yeah, well, I've also been the a board member of the Aboriginal Legal Service up there as well as a chair. So, yeah, I have a wide range of understanding of the issues, and that's probably why I ended up where I am currently.
All right. Now, obviously, around the nation, there was shockwaves when there was announcements made through the federal budget that not just in legal areas, but in a whole sphere of areas, education, health, that there was going to be forthcoming cuts to services. And I guess a lot of those services are particularly relevant for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members. Talk us through what the government did say in relation to cuts to specifically our Aboriginal legal services and some months down the track where we stand now.
Yeah, initially the opposition, when in opposition, the current government, they came out day before the election to say that election promise would be $42 million cut to the Aboriginal legal service, and which was a significant proportion of our money nationally, probably just over half. But you know, a lot of lobbying in from our own Aboriginal Legal Services, some of our other Indigenous organisations, and our partners throughout the country, non-Indigenous and Indigenous, supported our ALSs and realised the work that we do and how much that's valued in the community. And that's now been reduced from $42 million to $13.4 million currently.
Okay, so that is good news.
Well, it's still a significant cut for our organisation, you know, considering when, you know, we just had a Productivity Commission review done, and it stipulates that the money should be invested in our area. So, you know, we've got to work with what we've got, and our Aboriginal Legal Services, including the national body, are working to try and, you know, work with government and others to make changes and that, you know, assist what's happening in this country in regards to the high numbers of incarceration across the board for our people.
I'm talking with Eddie Cabillo, Executive Officer of the NATSLs. And Eddie, I'm imagining that it's the same situation for our Aboriginal Legal Services across the country. Here in Western Australia, absolutely stretched to the maximum. Some of our country lawyers seeing in excess of 80, 100 clients in one morning. It's an incredible workload and a role that could only really be undertaken by Aboriginal Legal Service providers, isn't it?
Well, that's correct. We provide a very culturally appropriate delivery of service to our people that, you know, a lot of our staff and our board members go beyond the call of their duties because of, you know, they know what it is like in regards to their own personal family, as well as, you know, non-Indigenous staff members have worked in our organisations for, you know, 20-odd years, and many of those could go on and work anywhere else and earn a significant amount of money, but they continually work and for our people because, you know, they enjoy working with our people as well as trying to get valuable outcomes for us.
Definitely. And I'm wondering how important it's been in recent years for the NATSLs to work more together on a national scale, because I know that representatives from NATSLs from all states and territories do get together from time to time, and it must be refreshing to be able to share issues that's happening in each of our communities and seek solutions for the betterment of all our mob.
Yeah, look, it gives us an opportunity to sit down and discuss the issues, see who's doing things better than others, and also, you know, just for how we go about replying to various national legislation and state ones as well, and how we can implement our responses and making sure that, you know, that we are targeting the right areas that will assist all our people across the country, and that's significant in the fact that, you know, majority of, since I've been here, we've provided so much responses to government that it's really strange that they've come at us and trying to stop us from providing law reform and advocacy, when in fact majority of our law reform is on request from government, and whether that be state or federal.
Okay. How do you find the situation in Queensland? Are there some key issues that are affecting Aboriginal people in Queensland more than other issues?
Yeah, look, Western Australia and the Northern Territory are leading the way on how our people are, you know, been captured within the justice system, and unfortunately a lot of the other states and territories now are picking up on some of these tough on crime policies and basically going down the same line as what's happening in Western Australia and the Northern Territory. And like all the Aboriginal legal services across the country, you know, we're trying to work with and government as well as others to try and make, you know, significant changes in how we deal with low socioeconomic and people faced with those sort of issues.
In the many years you've been involved in Aboriginal affairs, Eddie Cabillo, have you noticed that things are improving?
Look, in the justice space, the stats point that they're not improving. Our people are incarcerated at 15 times more than the non-Indigenous people. However, what I do notice is that, like you pointed out recently, that, you know, us working together and being able to sit down and have the discussion and be able to agree to disagree has really got us in a better place. And I think, you know, we'll keep continuing to strive to make sure that our legal services provide whatever services they can with the, you know, the money that they're getting provided from, whether it be government or other private sponsorships.
As an Aboriginal man, what are your own hopes for the future, Eddie? And what also motivates you and drives you to do what you do on a daily basis within that justice system?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, look, I've got two children. One's done a dual degree in education and politics, and my daughter's just about to finish her law degree. So that inspires me to see, you know, Aboriginal children across the country who are going to come to the table with abilities to you know, negotiate and get better outcomes for our people. And then, you know, for me, that's inspiring, and I know that across the country, where when I travel, I see a lot of young and strong youth coming through, and I just can't wait to see the majority of them to start to step up and start to represent our people.
And what's on the future agenda for our NATSLs across the country, our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander legal services throughout Australia?
Well, obviously continue battling to get better outcomes for our people, but also for our services, who I just want to let people know that they are trying their best to do what they can with the limited funds they have, and that, you know, sometimes we don't get it right, but majority of the times, you know, we're striving to do the best we can.
All right. Look, Eddie, we appreciate your time talking to us here in Western Australia. This is broadcast on Noongar Radio in Perth, Western Australia. It does get repeated a week later on the National Indigenous Radio Service. And whilst when it's heard on NIRS, NAIDOC will be well and truly over. I think NAIDOC messages apply at any time. What's your message for our community for NAIDOC Week?
Just get out there and enjoy, celebrate what we've achieved and what we're going to achieve. You too, Jody.
Okay, Eddie Cabillo, thanks for chatting with us here on Noongar Radio. Enjoy the rest of the week, won't you? And we hope to chat with you again soon.
Thank you.
Eddie Cabillo is the Executive Officer of NATSLs, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, here on 100.9 FM Noongar Radio and the National Indigenous Radio Service. Coming up really shortly, we're going to be chatting with Aboriginal lawyer Krista McKeegan. I do hope you can stay with me. She's an incredible young woman and she's just involved in so much at a professional and community level. You're going to love meeting her. We're going to find out all about the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee through the Law Society of Western Australia. We're going to chat about NAIDOC. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things. So Krista's coming up really, really shortly on the Law Matters program, which is brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Great to have your company. Hope you're enjoying NAIDOC Week. Huge celebrations across the country. And Perth is no exception. There has been so much on. Even starting before NAIDOC Week, we had our official opening in Perth on Sunday, the 6th of July. But the program is jam-packed full of information, and if you do need any more information on activities happening during NAIDOC Week and after NAIDOC Week in and around Perth, do jump onto the NAIDOC Perth website at www.naidocperth.org. Well, my next guest is an incredibly young, go-getting woman who has got so many feathers to her cap already, and she's still only in her early 20s. I'd like to welcome to the program lawyer Christine McKeegan. How are you, Krista?
Good, thank you, and thanks for having me.
I'm sorry, I called you Christine there. I meant Krista McKeegan. Krista, you really are an incredible young woman. You've won a human rights medal. You have worked with us, Mob, at the Aboriginal Legal Service, particularly interested in our stolen wages work. You've won national and state NAIDOC awards. You helped to draft a UN report on the Convention of the Rights of the Child. And if I'm not mistaken, you also last year did a Kokoda trek.
That's right.
Oh my God. Tell us about that. That was in a capacity as a young leader. Tell us how you got to do the Kokoda trek. That's incredible.
It was an absolutely fantastic experience, and I was supported by Clubs WA to go over there and participate with a number of other young, inspiring people from around Australia to complete a 134K trek, carrying about 15 kilos. So, yeah, it was a very challenging experience, mentally and physically, but also incredibly rewarding.
Did it change you as a person on your outlook in life, Krista, doing something like that?
Absolutely. Getting to see the Indigenous people there and the way they live and how strong their connection with family is and with each other, and realising that we kind of lose that connection in all the technology that we have and leading such busy lives, and really getting back to what's important, which is those family and friend connections and, you know, being true to your word and that kind of thing. So, no, definitely a life-changing experience.
Fantastic. Let's talk about you. You are a lawyer. Tell us where you're working.
I'm working at Cause Chambers West Garth, which is a commercial firm in the city, and I'm in the litigation team and I do intellectual property, so keeping pretty busy over here.
I bet you are. And I guess you've been able to get out to a few NAIDOC events, despite being how busy you are?
I have. So I'm a NAIDOC Perth Committee member as well, so I was at the OC. Unfortunately, I'm missing the ball. I won't be here, but it's set to be a fantastic event. I was at the Woodside event yesterday. It's just a jam-packed calendar. There's so much going on.
I know. It's incredible. I was looking at the program, and we've got copies for community members in the reception area of the Aboriginal Legal Service in Perth, and there's just so many events on. It's incredible. And it's just such an exciting time. Why couldn't every week be NAIDOC, hey?
That'd be fantastic.
Hey, through your role as a lawyer, Krista, you're also very involved in the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee section of the Law Society of Western Australia. Give us a bit of background to the committee and when it was set up and why it was set up.
So it was set up back in 2010, early 2010, and the idea was to help create a network of Indigenous lawyers and law students and to provide a mentoring scheme that really supported our students to get through their degree and to complete it, but also develop meaningful relationships with other lawyers so that when they went out and wanted a job and wanted to start practising, they kind of knew what they wanted to do, had some familiar faces around the place, and just to also have a platform, I guess, to advocate for issues that affect Aboriginal people in terms of legal policy as well.
Do we have any idea of how many Aboriginal lawyers there are in Western Australia?
Not enough. It's growing. It's kind of hard to identify practising lawyers because while we have, you know, an increasing number that have actually got a law degree, they're not practising law itself, and they've gone up to really diverse careers and they're all around Western Australia. So we're always trying to identify new people and get people involved and just find out what their views are and what they would want from the committee and also from the profession as well.
When did you graduate as a lawyer yourself?
2012, I think I started working.
Yeah.
I've been here 2.5 years, so only very new.
And so the course is how long, Krista?
I did an undergraduate,
yes.
So I spent 4 years at uni. I was at UWA, so that's now changed to a JD.
Okay, what does that mean?
So that's a Juris Doctorate, which means you do your other degree first. You have to get a certain level of marks from that degree, and then you would go into law, as opposed to starting out straight from high school like I did.
Okay, now, I guess a lot of people aren't aware that going on to further education these days offers a lot more support than it has in many years gone by. Did you find that through the process of doing your law degree, that there was a lot of support around for you to assist you getting through it?
Absolutely, within the uni and without. So I was at UWA, so I had Shenton House, and there's some absolutely fantastic people there behind the scenes supporting you in every aspect of your study and life. So it's not just about, you know, getting your assignments in on time and making sure you understand the content, but it's making sure that you're okay at home and that, you know, all your life matters are well balanced to give you the best opportunity to do well. And then people within the industry are incredibly supportive. So many people want to mentor young people and pass on their knowledge and help them out and get them a job later on. So the support is great and it's just building. And, Aboriginal Lawyers Committee is a part of that.
My guest is Krista McKeegan here on our Law Matters radio program, part of the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee, part of the NAIDOC Perth Organising Committee. Krista, where are you from? You in and around Perth?
No, I grew up in Esperance, Noongar girl still, but yeah, all the way down there and moved up for university. So those networks and support throughout my studies was really important because I had to move away from my family and everything I was familiar with.
Beautiful part of Western Australia. Tell us about what it was like to grow up in Esperance, right down the bottom of the state.
Stunning. Highly recommend it.
The beaches are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Living that outdoor lifestyle, being able to get to the beach after school every day and every weekend, that's what it's all about, camping. Yeah, great.
And do you manage to get down there from time to time?
Time to time, but not enough. I wish I could get back there more, especially for the beaches and just to get away from the city slicker life and slow down a bit and catch up with family and friends.
And I guess that's the reality for a lot of people, isn't it? That geographically, if you are in remote or regional areas of Western Australia, it does involve travelling to come and do university courses and follow your dreams that way. When did you discover that law was something that you wanted to pursue?
I was about 11 when I decided I wanted to do law.
Are you serious?
I think I watched too much JAG as a kid. But, I stuck with it. I finished my high school and then I was really nervous because I'd wanted to do it for so long. I thought, what if I start it and I hate it? I've never thought about anything else. But fortunately, it was just as good as I thought and I've really enjoyed the journey.
So you are in litigation at the moment, but I did mention at the top of our program that you'd done a bit of work with the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA when we were going through all of our Redress WA applications, and quite often we get assistance from law firms that is absolutely invaluable in providing pro bono assistance to help us out with our workloads and take on matters that we might not otherwise be able to. How did you enjoy your time with the Aboriginal Legal Service?
I absolutely loved it. It's something I always said I would do, was spend some time with the Aboriginal Legal Service and give back to the community that supported me so much and that I'm, you know, so passionate about. And so it was great to get in there and, you know, get your hands dirty and assist in really support such a valuable organisation.
Oh, that's good. Now, look, part of the Law Society every year is that it presents the Sir Ronald Wilson Lecture. Our own CEO, Dennis Eggington, presented the lecture a couple of years ago and absolutely loved the opportunity to address everyone in the audience, which included a lot of younger students as well, and give them an insight into different things. The Sir Ronald Wilson Lecture is coming up in early August, and I understand one of the members of the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee, Tammy Solonik, will be presenting the 2014 lecture.
Yeah, she is. We're so proud of her. She's speaking about justice reinvestment and the difference it can make in Western Australia. So it's a really localised approach to the issue, and it's about our state and about the statistics here in justice, and really, I guess, addressing it at an approachable level, because we've got everything from year 11 and 12 students, teachers, lawyers, judges, and just general community members attending that lecture. So it's a really great opportunity to get the message out there.
And justice reinvestment is a topic that is on the lips of a lot of people across the country in terms of providing a cost-effective measure of breaking the cycle of reoffending, and rather than seeing locking up more people as a solution, putting the money back into the communities to seek solutions at a community level and investing in communities, hey?
Yeah, that's it. It's all about supporting people to make the right choices and to have opportunities available to them, and if they do make a wrong decision, to get back on that path rather than continuing to punish them and getting them stuck in a cycle that doesn't benefit anyone. So it's that early intervention. It's about supporting community. It's all the stuff we've known all along, that community is what really drives change and what really leads to a positive experience for people.
And many people know of Tammy and her work. She formerly worked with us at the Aboriginal Legal Service. She was also very involved with the National Congress and Amnesty at the moment, isn't it?
Yep, she's now at Amnesty, although Tammy's involved in everything. I come across her all the time. I don't know how she does it. She's also a mum, so she's a fantastic role model for other lawyers and law students.
So the Sir Ronald Wilson Lecture is coming up on Tuesday, the 5th of August in Perth, between 4:30 and 6 p.m. The topic is Justice Reinvestment, What Difference Could It Make in Western Australia, presented by Tammy Solonik, and it's at the Central Park Building Theatrette in St George's Terrace. It is free, but bookings are essential, and I can tell you, these places really book up, and the Law Society do a fantastic job of making sure this goes ahead every year and keeping it really, really relevant to what people are finding out about each year. I'll give you a phone number, 9324 8686, if you'd like any more information about the Sir Ronald Wilson Lecture. 9324 8686 is the number to call. How important are lectures like this when you are a young person, Krista, and sort of embarking on your own studies? Do they provide a really good insight into the future ahead in legal studies?
Yeah, I think it's that great insight into what's going on in the community, what's important, and what various people think about it. Because as I said, there's such a wide range of attendees. You really get an insight into all the different views and all the different key players. And I find that kind of experience really eye-opening. And it's great that the audience is so broad and so many people have an opportunity to come in and just see what it's all about.
My guest is Krista McKeegan from the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee, section of the Law Society of Western Australia. Hey, I know that I want to talk a bit more, Krista, Aboriginal Student Mentoring Program. Can you tell me about that?
Okay, so the program's now in its third year, and it includes law students in any year of their law degree. So it doesn't matter if you're nearly finished, it doesn't matter if you're just starting out. We'd love to support you. And what it's all about is pairing you up with a mentor who's in the industry, who's really passionate about assisting you to get through your studies if you're a law student. You pair them up, and it's an arrangement that's made to suit you. So you can meet up as often as you like, as rare as you like, in person, by phone, at a coffee shop, whatever works. It's really flexible, and it's just about chatting about the issues that are affecting you. So if you're struggling with something, with your set career path or with your study, or you're not sure about something, or you're really interested in criminal law, so you want to speak to someone that does it, that's what that program's all about. It's just creating those networks within the industry.
Okay. Now, I know that there are committee members that are part of the Aboriginal Lawyers Committee, but can any Aboriginal lawyer join the committee or join the group?
Yep. Absolutely. We're always looking for new members, any Aboriginal lawyer or law graduate. We're really interested in hearing from you and getting you on board just to hear your opinions and your voice on matters that are affecting both the legal profession and just Indigenous people generally from a legal and policy perspective. So we can always do with more hands on deck. Strongly encourage you to join.
And recommend that people jump onto the website for the Law Society of Western Australia and find out more information there, or to find out specifically more information about the committee, or to express an interest in joining the committee, you can contact the Policy and Professional Services team at the Law Society on 9324 8600 in Perth. 9324 8600 in Perth. Krista, we'll let you go shortly, but not before you give us a NAIDOC message of what it means to you. What does it mean this week of celebrations around the country, being a young Aboriginal woman?
This week's been a particularly special experience for me because of the national theme, which is recognising our Indigenous men and women that have served our country. It's something, an issue that I think has gone under the radar for quite a long time, and it's great to finally have that national recognition and to see Indigenous soldiers and service women getting identified from photos and things that haven't been identified before, and to really bring that national focus into the role Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have played in defending our country and in supporting our community and society for, you know, for years before they were even recognised as citizens. So I think it's great to draw attention to that. It's great to sit back and acknowledge our veterans, and it's great to interact with the non-Indigenous community as well and tell them all about the special things that we have to share.
Beautifully put. Krista, always lovely to chat with you here on Noongar Radio. Enjoy the rest of NAIDOC week. Thank you for giving up your time to spend it with us today on our Law Matters radio program, and good luck with everything you do. You really are an incredible young role model for our mob.
Thanks so much for having me, and enjoy NAIDOC week.
We will. See you later, Krista.
Bye.
Krista McKeegan, and what an incredible young woman she is, and always great to chat with her, and interesting stuff, and so much happening for NAIDOC, both on a local, statewide and national basis. Do check out the national NAIDOC website, or here in Perth, the Perth website. Plenty going on for everyone. This is Law Matters. Jodie Hoffman with you, Noongar Radio. Just about out of time on our Law Matters program for this fortnight, but I hope all of our community members are having a fantastic NAIDOC week. I know that the Aboriginal Legal Service has been flat out this week attending stalls. I know we had some of our staff down at the official opening in Perth on Sunday, staff out at Armidale yesterday for celebrations there, at the Herb Graham Recreation Centre in Mirrabooka today for NAIDOC celebrations, and of course the huge Ashfield Family Day is happening tomorrow. We'll have a stall out there as well. Do pop up and say g'day. We've got plenty of information, promotional giveaways, some pamphlets, and you can also jump on our website at www.als.org.au. See all of the pamphlets that are available. If you or your organisation does need some, pick up the phone, give us a call. In WA, you can free call us on 1800 019 900, and we'll more than happily package up something and send it out to you. And it's all about providing that information for our community members, offering a quality Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander legal service, not just in Perth at our head office, but at our 14 regional offices as well. Thank you for your company here on Noongar Radio. Don't forget, this program is repeated in Western Australia on Sunday nights, and a week after this program, it goes to air on National Indigenous Radio Service as well. Thank you for your company. Let's have some great music to take us out on the program today. And in a moment, we will hear a song by Nickelback. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day and evening on Noongar Radio.